I got a question. Will anybody be offended if I preach from up here? One thing I've learned in my years is that when I'm trying to get back on track, when I'm trying to refocus, it's always best to go back to what I'm familiar with, what I know. I have a lot to be thankful for this morning, and I'm sure you can make the same statement. But first, I want to acknowledge Sister Mia Sorty's sister sitting over here and her daughters. Amen. You're welcome. Glad you came. It's interesting, I hadn't seen them in a while, and just so happened this week, I got put on a route where I drove her kids. So we got to talking, and she showed up. I didn't know she was coming, but it's so is glad to see you and hope you're blessed today. You know, I'm sure all the elders can identify with what I'm about to say. And that is, I can't tell you how many sermons that I have in my computer that's halfway or two-thirds of the way written. Because I decided I was going to sit down and write a sermon just in case. But I found out it don't work that way. And that's what happened to me this week. And the Lord led me where I am. And he gave me confirmation this morning with the music, with the prayer, and just with some things some people have said to me. So I praise God for his goodness and his love and his mercy. And as I pray this sermon, I want you to know one thing. I don't know, have I told you lately how much I love you? I love my church. I love Berean. I love being an Adventist. I love God's truth. I'm not saying that I haven't struggled in various areas of my life. But I love God's truth. Because even when you struggle, God's truth will get you back on track. Amen? So, when I tell you that this sermon, for a minute I was thinking the Lord had given it to me just for me. But then I had to realize that's not the way he works. Amen. So this morning, if you would, our scripture comes from Psalm 51, verses 9 through 13. And then we will read 1 John 1, 9. Psalms 51. 9 through 13. Say amen when you have it. Please stand with me as we read the word of God. All together, hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're going to spend a few minutes this morning under the subject, submitting and repenting, the keys to revival and restoration. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. Now, Lord, as I have dipped down deep into the recesses of your wisdom, I ask that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross, or fill me with your Holy Spirit, that the words that I speak will keep us from growing weary of well-doing, and we will give you all the praise, honor, and glory in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, most, if not all of us, remember that we began 2019 with a slogan that says, submitting and repenting. We said that was going to be our battle cry. It would be our primary goal and objective for 2019, because we wanted to be more faithful, more spiritually minded, and more Christ-like. Someone even said we want to do big and better things. We wanted great things to happen within our church. Do you remember that, church? But the question before us this morning is this: have we accomplished our goals? Based on the commitment that was made by most of us, if not all of us, are you satisfied with what you see in the 11th month of 2019? If not, what do you think the problem is? Where do you believe we came up short? But before you answer any of those questions, I humbly and respectfully ask you to do this one thing for me, which is to confine your assessment and your analysis to your individual spiritual progress and spiritual growth. Why? Because it's easy for us to sit back and point the accusatory finger to on others. It's easy to find fault and blame with everyone else. It's easy to make ourselves feel better when we use other people as a barometer in which to measure ourselves. That's why Paul tells us, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. You're going to do some self-examination, or any examination, make sure it's self-examination. We're living in the last days, beloved, and the spiritual state of our souls should be under constant examination. We shouldn't be taking anything for granted, not if you sincerely and truly want to go to heaven. God means what he says, and he says what he means. Is that right? So when we talk about submitting and repenting, what does that mean? Entails. We have to submit ourselves to God. That means we place ourselves under God's control. Full control. See, I can't pick and choose. In other words, I can't decide I'll be under God's control Monday through Thursday, but Friday night I'm going to let it all hang out. I can't decide that I'm going to be under God's control as long as it's not interfering with anything that I really and truly want to do. God has to be in control at all times. That's what it means by submission. Submission means I'm placing myself under the control and authority of someone else. Your children are under your control for a while. They're not going to come in your house and tell you how to act, what to do, because then they will see God doesn't always have control of you. We don't have no problem putting them in their place. And there were times when I put them in their place, and when I finished, I had to go pray and ask for forgiveness. I didn't glorify God, and I know he wasn't satisfied with me. But I wanted them to know who was in control. I used to tell them all the time, look, I love you, but I ain't financing your party. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your father. And I have been given a solemn responsibility from God about what all that entails. I can't let you do whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Come back when you feel like it. And talking about I'm raising you. No, we have to understand that's in this relationship as father and child, as mother and child. It can be friendly, but I can't be your friend. Because there's going to come a time when I have to step on your toes. Well, it's the same with God. There comes a time in our relationship where God has to step on our toes. Some of us, he done even broke our feet to get our attention. Because we're hard-headed and we insist on doing it the way we want to do it. Not the way God wants to do it. But yet, we read submitting and repenting on the bulletins. We see it on the board week after week. But see, if we're not careful, it'll become nothing but another cliche. But that's not what I had in mind when I decided I was going to make that my battle cry. And I had to do some serious, serious soul searching. And what submission was really all about. See, submission is about doing God's will even when you don't feel like it. Submission is about doing God's will and looking for the right outcome even when you're in the right. But what I've learned in this life is not about being right, it's about doing right. I can be, like they used to say with the traffic thing, used to have a thing that arrive alive. Don't be so hard-headed about being right until you end up dead right. No. I want to be right, but I want to be right in God's sight. And that means submitting to him. How do I glorify God in this situation? Even though I may be right, even though somebody wronged me. But to glorify God, I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm not saying you got to condone right. But don't get upset. Pray for him. Right after you finish praying for yourself. I got to pray for me. See, and you know, here's the thing. We're all dealing and struggling with sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say some. See, all have sinned. And I always think of it in these terms. I like to think about how I want God to deal with me in my transgressions so I should deal with others the same way. You know, see, we love to talk about grace. But do we exercise it? But here's the thing. See, they would have you believe that God's will, God's word, God's commandment is impossible for you to keep. We mess up and we blame God. Well, you know, I was conceived in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. So in other words, what we're saying is, God, you know what? It's your fault. You made me like this. And then you know, some of the other ones will tell you that don't fully understand. They're on the opposite end of the spectrum. It's this. Oh, look, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But you see, they're leaving out something very, very important in there. That's not all the text says. That's not what the text begin with. The text begin with submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. So if you're not submitted to God, guess what? There's not going to be any resistance. You can go there trying to mess with them demons while you're not submitted to God. I'm just going to remind you of some disciples that went there and tried to call out some demons. And the demons let them know real quick, Paul, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You have to be submitted to God. Uh-oh. That's my alarm, y'all. That's not a text. It's prayer time. But we need to understand. Now, we're talking about our goal when we started this 21 days of fasting and prayer was what? Revival and restoration. Well, there cannot be any revival or restoration without submitting, and you got to let it go. What is repentance? Is repent and repentance the same thing? If I tell you I need a vacation, am I on a vacation? But if I go on a vacation, that's a different thing. See, there's a plan. One, repent. One is a noun and one is a verb. The noun don't mean a thing without action. So you could talk about repent all you want, but until you start doing some repenting, you're not going to be revived or restored. And here's the thing. All of us are in that situation, and we all need to be revived and restored. How do I know? The word revive, you had to be vived in the first place to be revived. You had to be stored to be restored. Restored means to bring you back to what you were at first in Jesus, not what you were before Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And you know what? Nobody's life illustrates this better than David. And that's what we find in Psalms 51. David messed up big time. And if you think it can't happen to the best of us, or all of us, you're deceiving yourself. The Bible says that God himself declared David to be a man after his own heart. David walked so close with God that he became one of the most amazing men to ever live. His faith can stand the test of time with the best of them. It was his faith that enabled him to face the lion. His faith enabled him to face that bear. His faith enabled him to slay Goliath. What are we doing about the lion, bears, and giants in our lives? Is your faith getting you through it? But yet, in spite of David's close relationship with the Lord, his close connections with the Lord. David messed up big time. See, we got to be careful what we allow ourselves to gaze upon. See, David ended up being somewhere where he wasn't supposed to be. He wasn't supposed to be on the boat. On that porch looking at Uriah's wife. He wasn't supposed to be in that nightclub. He wasn't supposed to be running with the people that he was running with. But yet he strolled out onto the porch one morning and saw this beauty taking a bath. And there was something way down deep up in David that the devil was able to bring up to the top. And David, the man who walked so close with God, the man who God had delivered so many times, the man who God called a man after his own heart, decided he was going to please self rather than please God. Sent for the man's wife. I don't want to hear about Bathsheba should have known better. But I'm not talking about Bathsheba right now. I'm talking about David. The man God chose and anointed as the king of Israel. Who could have commanded any unmarried woman in the kingdom to come to him. But he made up in his mind and in his heart, I want her. And he had her. Then all of a sudden, like those type of situations can do, things went bad quick, fast, and in a hurry. Bathsheba came and told David, I'm with child. Big problem. She got a husband. You the king of Israel. Not only the leader of the people, you supposed to be the spiritual leader of the people. But rather than going to God, whom he loved, whom he trusted, whom he up to that point had obeyed faithfully, he decided he was going to take matters into his own hand. Sent Uriah to the front lines of the battle. Commanded that when he was there, that the rest of the troops retreat. So Uriah could be killed and he could take Bathsheba for his wife. Deceiving himself into believing that no one would be the wiser. Have mercy. And just when he thought he had got away with something, he found out the hard way that he who sits high looks low. He knows what's in your mind, on your mind and in your heart. We can't hide anything from God. And when Nathan came and told him the story about the rich man taking the one lamb from the poor man and told David that that man was you, David's countenance dropped. But the thing you got to love about David, his countenance didn't drop because he had got caught. David had already begun to be full of godly sorrow. And when Nathan confronted him, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. But oh, is God good? David had done this thing that displeased the Lord and displeased him greatly. But he said, the Lord has forgiven you. And you won't die for your sins. Why? Because David, here's the thing about David. Why did God make the declaration that David was a man after his own heart? Number one, David's heart was always pointed toward the Lord. David loved God. He trusted God. He obeyed God. The next thing, show me somebody in the Bible that can repent better than David. When you read this prayer and you don't get any hope from it, I have to wonder, what God are you serving? David owned up to everything. And he begins with confession. Verses 1 and 2. David used 3 words to describe in detail his wrongdoing. He said, oh Lord, my sins, my transgressions, my iniquity. See, the enormity of all this was weighing down upon David. And it began to crush him. David was actually in fear, beloved, of losing his soul. How do we know? Keep reading. He says, I lost my thought, y'all. I'm sorry. Here it is. Verse 3 through 5. I know my sin. I have done evil in your eyes. I've been a sinner since I was conceived. But, oh, Lord, I know you want the truth in my inner being. But only you can make me clean. Give me my joy again. Wipe away the record of my sin. Create in me a clean heart, oh, God, and renew a right spirit in me. Give me back the joy I once had. See, but here's where we get in trouble. See, we don't have a problem with confessing and asking for forgiveness. We don't have a problem falling down on our knees. Lord, forgive me. I have sinned against you. Appealing to him for his grace and mercy. Where we get in trouble today as believers, we got a problem with that forsaken thing. That tends to give us the most trouble. It's the surrendering and submitting that we have a problem with. Because of our sinful nature, we are always struggling with something. And we want all of God's love and his grace and his mercy. But we struggle when we feel that we're being restricted from the things that we really want to do. We struggle when the law of God places demands on me. We struggle when it comes time for us to make commitments to the Lord and sacrifice to the Lord. See, because we have an inherited and intrinsic tendency in us to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, with whomever we want to do it with. And God's law disturbs our comfort zone. We can't go out there and do it with a free and clear conscience. So what do? We get upset with God. And we blame him. You made me this way. See, but here's the problem with that mindset. It makes it difficult, if not impossible, for us to admit we done something wrong. It makes it impossible, if not difficult, for us to confess and forsake while we're seeking forgiveness. If we don't get down on our knees confess our sins. God has already promised. He's already promised that he's going to forgive you. He promised that. He said, 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Proverbs 28:13 say, whoever concealeth his transgression will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes will, not might or maybe, will, not possibly, will obtain mercy. If we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. See, don't deceive yourself. That if in this text, that's a really big if. You know, I looked it up. See, if, and I know my English teacher's in here. If I'm wrong, y'all straighten me out. Now, if is a conjunction. Huh? It's a conjunction. And what that means, it is used to introduce a conditional clause. Here it means on the condition or supposition that in the event that. Is there to connotate that there are conditions associated with the problems. So it would read like this, if something like this. On the condition that you confess your sins. Huh? Supposing that you confess your sins, in the event that you confess your sin, he then is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. You see, but God wants us to realize something. It involves much more than just confessing. Yeah. See, because we can get caught up when we misinterpret this text and misapply this. We can mess ourselves up and get caught up in that perpetual cycle of confessing and sinning, confessing and sinning, confessing and sinning, confessing and sinning, and thinking we all right. But you got to look at the whole text. Because he come right back behind that with a blessing that's attached to the condition. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But I thank God that he didn't stop there. He went on to say, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we knowingly and unknowingly overlook the if. But we got to get this thing straight in our mind. If we don't get the if, we don't get the blessing. What blessing? To be given of, be forgiven of our sins. Cleanse us. In other words, God will reactivate. He will resuscitate. He will revitalize the process of sanctification that is working within us. Revival and restoration. If you conceal it, no mercy. Confession plus forsaking equals mercy. Simple equation. Confession plus forsaking equals mercy. See, two things David had. First, he had that honest heart. But he went to God and he just owned up to everything. I have sinned against you, my sin, my transgression, my iniquities. I have done this evil in your sight. He didn't try to put it on nobody. He took the blame for his action. Then David had, I'm losing my thought, y'all. I'm sorry. He had to have a broken heart. That's when he went to God. That's what his sin did. That's what godly sorrow will do to you. It will break your heart when you realize how much you have displeased God and hurt God. And you want to come clean with him. Why? Because I want to be in a right relationship with him. I want to stay in a right relationship. I want to, like the song they sung, I want to be where he is. But I can't be where he is with a mind full of iniquity and a heart full of sin. God said, no, but if you allow me, I'll clean you up. I'll clean you up. Then, after he had that broken heart, he was honest about himself. And then lastly, he had a hopeful heart. And David, when he looked back upon all that, he asked for forgiveness. But the main thing, if you notice what David asked for, he asked the Lord, cast me not away from your presence. I want to be where you are, Lord. Cast me not away. But then he said, and this is most important, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Beloved, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot worship God. You cannot please God. You cannot serve God. You cannot obey God. You will not have faith in God. You will not trust God. It's going to be all about you, not him. We need the Holy Spirit. We talk about how much we love Jesus. No Holy Spirit, no Jesus. No Jesus, no Holy Spirit. We have to stop playing these games. We have to recognize that we are living in the last day. We got all this doctrine, all this truth, which is a highway that leads straight to Jesus Christ and his glorious salvation. Stop taking all them side roads. Stop deviating from the path of righteousness. Be serious and sincere about being revived and restored. But to do that, you're going to need a whole lot of Holy Ghost. And she come and sing. Just meditate. Because I propose to you that submitting and repenting, we said it was for 2019. But I can't speak for anybody else. But for me, it's for now on. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with Jesus.